42. Do want to mention, I failed to mention this morning, but Forts Lake is in revival. They started today with Brother Joe Gans. Y'all remember Brother Joe?
Yes, sir.
Excellent preacher.
Yes, sir.
If you get the chance, there'll be a revival with him through Wednesday night. I actually got to eat lunch with Brother Joe on Friday. We were preaching right there in neighboring cities together, not lunch, but I met him and ate breakfast with him because both of us were eating with him. Host pastors for lunch, but I met him and ate breakfast with him, and I had a really good visit. And he's like, "You going home tomorrow?" I said, "I am." He said, "I'm going to be right on your bumper." I said, "Where are you going?" I said, "Brother Tim's, be there through Wednesday night." And Brother Tim called me this morning, said, "Hey, we in revival this week." And I said, "With Joe Gans." He said, "How'd you know?" I said, "I talked to him." So, anyway, I plan on going tomorrow night, Tuesday night. If you want to go, you're certainly welcome to go. Battery on the van's dead. We'll try to get that changed tomorrow so that I can take the church van. If you want to go and be in revival, I'll stop along the way and grab you if you want to do that. I know it'll be good, so I'll be over there Monday and Tuesday night, fellowship with them and hear the word of the Lord. So I wanted to make that announcement on Brother Tim's behalf. Psalms 42, beginning with verse number 1. As the hart, that's H-A-R-T, that's a deer. As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me, for I've gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. I want to use verse 1 for our key text tonight. As the hart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. And I want to preach on a thirsty heart. A thirsty heart. Now, I told Brother Jason, a thirsty heart, H-A-R-T. He said, H-A-R-T? I said, yeah, that's a deer. H-A-R-T, we're playing off of verse number 1 in our title, A Thirsty Heart. Father, we thank you for the word of God tonight. We pray, Lord, that you'll anoint our ears to hear and our hearts to receive what the Spirit would say to the church. And God, I ask you that you'll just do a work in our heart. God, that you'll help us thirst for God, as the psalmist was thirsting for God in our text tonight. You said, blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. I pray, O God, that we could hunger and thirst after you, your righteousness, your kingdom. You said, seek ye first the kingdom and his righteousness, and everything else that we have need of will be added to us. O God, tonight, if I could ask you anything, help us to be thirsty after you is our prayer. We ask it in Christ's name. Love the Lord, would you say amen? As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. Why would a deer long or pant after water? Well, I think the first answer to that would be obvious. Thirst. An intense thirst. For verse number 2, he said, my soul thirsteth for God. there, that was immediately following us. The hart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, the living God. So what would cause the deer to pant? What would cause his soul to pant for God as the deer does for the water brooks? An intense thirst. Are you thirsty for God?
Yes.
If you're thirsty, one thing will happen. You'll find something to drink somewhere. Thirst, it consumes us. You can go quite a while, a good long season, without food. But God did not design your body to be able to go long without water. Thirst has a way of taking you over, of making you look until you find, ask until you receive, knock until the door is open. That's what thirst drives a man or a woman to do. Thirst is what caused the meeting between Abraham's chief servant and Rebekah. Thirst. When Eleazar, the chief servant in Abraham's house, when Abraham sent Eleazar back to his hometown to find for his son Isaac a bride, a wife, he said, you just go back where I came from and you find my son Isaac a wife among my own people. He said, suppose that I can't find one among your home people, shall I look for one of the inhabitants of this land? Meaning of the pagan heathen nations that we're sojourning around and in. He said, no way. He said, my son will never take a wife among these women. That'll turn his heart away. He said, you can't find a wife for my son among my home people. He said, then you're free of the oath and you come on back. You know, Eleazar is a type. In that text, he is a type, a friend of the bridegroom, sent by the father for the son to search out a bride for the son. That is a type of the work of the Holy Ghost. And Eleazar prayed unto God, and he said this, Lord, I'm going to sit by this well because every woman in the city is going to come to this well when she gets thirsty. And Lord, I pray that if there's a woman here in this city that you choose for my master's son to be a wife, then you let her draw for me, for the men with me, and for all of our camels. And I'll know she's the one that you've picked for Isaac. I was reading that one night, and in commentary, they told me that if a camel's on empty, meaning if a camel hadn't drank anything, if he's been wandering in the wilderness, the desert, and he's dehydrated and he needs a drink, that one camel on empty can drink 32 gallons of water at one time by himself. She's got a draw out of a well. Can you imagine 32 buckets over in? That's one camel. It's him, his men, and then they've got camels laden down with stuff. There's no telling how. No wonder. He said, if you find a woman that's willing to do all that, she's the one. She's the one that we're looking for, Lord. And do you know tonight that the Lord, I believe, sat still by the well when he looks for a bride for his son? Whosoever will, let him come. He says, is any man thirsty? let him drink. Let him freely drink. Whosoever will, let him come. And drink of the water of life freely. Know what he's saying? If any man thirsts, let him come unto me and drink. If anybody's thirsty for God, I'm here to quench your thirst. If any man's thirsty for God, Jesus said, let him come to me. Yeah. I am that living water. He told the woman at the well, this water will leave you thirsty.
Yes.
He wasn't talking about a thirst for that water. He's talking about a thirst for God. Amen. The water at Jacob's well does nothing to quench your thirst for God. But if you're thirsty, lady, if you knew who I was, you would ask me and I would give you water. Not water that leaves you thirsty, but the water that I would give you would be in you a well springing up unto everlasting life. Do you know that God still looks for and requires thirst from you and I? You thirsty? Come to me. I'll give you drink. That's not only to the lost. That's to you and I tonight. I've asked God, oh Lord, if I could have anything from you, let it be thirst.
Yes. Good.
Let it be thirst for your spirit. Let it be an appetite for you, oh God. So thirst is what caused the meeting between Abraham's chief servant and Rebekah. Thirst is what caused the meeting between Christ and the woman at the well in Samaria. He said, by the way, I must needs go through Samaria. I need to encounter a woman. Yes, she's messed up. She's had five husbands, and she's living with a man now who's not her husband. I know she's messed up, but she's thirsty for the answer. She's thirsty to get it right. She's thirsty for somebody that can help her be right.
Right.
And so that encounter was met by Jesus with this woman. He said, I must needs go through Samaria. And he sat on the well and waited for this woman to get there. And much like Eleazar, he said, will you draw water and give me to drink? She said, how is it that you, being a Jew, does ask me, a woman of Samaria, for a drink because the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans? He said, lady, if you knew who I was, you'd be asking me for a drink. Hallelujah. Before it was over with, she said, well, when the Messiah comes, he'll teach us all things. He said, lady, I'm him. I'm him. I'm the one. The Bible said that when she found out for herself who Jesus was, she dropped her water pots and took off running into the city saying, come see a man which hath told me everything which ever I have done. Is not this the Christ? You know what that says to me? When she dropped her earthen water pots, it tells me her thirst had been quenched. I found what I came looking for. I found water.
Yeah.
Not water to fill these earthen pots with, water to quench the thirst of my soul. Thirst is what caused Christ to cry out while suffering for you and I on the cross. I thirst. You know, Jesus, that was one of the cries upon the cross. I thirst. And they stuck a sponge dipped in vinegar and gall as mockery for him to wet his mouth, or when he sucked that sponge to get water. Vinegar and gall, it was awful. It was bitterness to his mouth. It was a mockery to his thirst. What they didn't realize, number one, they were fulfilling scripture.
Right.
Number two, he wasn't even talking. about wanting water. When he was on that cross, he's suffering for me and for you. My sin was placed upon him, and he feels my separation. How do you know he feels my separation that sin brought between man and God? Because he cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He felt our separation, the separation from God that sin brings, not because he sinned, but because he took my sin upon himself. And when he cried, I thirst, what he's saying is, I thirst for the presence of God.
Yeah.
I thirst to be able to feel God's presence. I thirst to be with my Father. I thirst for his touch upon my life. I want to tell you, you go very long without God. God intends to make you thirsty. If you have to go through hell on this earth, it's with good intentions. All things work together for good.
Yes, sir.
Somebody said you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. I said that one time from behind the pulpit. One of the old timers came up out of the congregation. He said, I grew up on a farm, preacher, and he said, that ain't true. He said, you make that horse drink. And I said, well, how? He said, give him salt.
Yes,
he said, you feed him a few salt tablets. He said, he'll run for water. Yes, he knows where water's at. He'll run for water. And I found out that in desert lands, they catch those, the natives will catch those baboons in a trap. And they'll feed them or eat like dry wafers. Bread to them, it'd be like a cracker to us. You feed him several of those crackers and get his mouth just as parched and dry as they can. They're in a drought. They turn that monkey loose. He takes off, hightailing it, running wide open. And they got a runner in that tribe that run chasing. He runs and that monkey goes to water because they know where water's at. When that runner finds the monkey's water hole, him and the men go, and they found water. What causes them to do such? Thirst. Thirst. You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. Salt will make you thirsty.
Yes,
well, brother, Joe Chambers told me years ago, he said, that's where I come up with the letter, the monthly letter that I always sent out, Salty Saints. He said, we are the salt of the earth. When people are around us, when people see us, when people hear us, when people hear our testimony, when they hear us preach, when they hear us sing, when they see our life on the job and see how we live, if we're salty, it ought to make them thirsty.
Yeah.
Sooner or later, they ought to have an appetite for God. Tell me about the one you serve. Tell me about, what about this Jesus? Why do you live this way? Why do you approach life this way? Why do you see the Bible, as God's rule for living? It ought to make them thirsty.
Right.
You've got an unsaved spouse at home, live for God. Live like God.
Yeah.
Amen.
Come on.
It ought to make them thirsty.
Yeah.
The Bible said if you've got an unbelieving spouse that's content to stay with you as an unbeliever, he said, with a meek and quiet spirit, because of your godly conversation, your godly lifestyle is what the word conversation means, your life or your lifestyle, without ever saying a word, ought to lead them to God some way, somehow.
Yes, sir. Amen.
I read the testimony of a girl that got saved in a youth camp, went back home. Her parents didn't want to hear about her God, but the church bus came and picked her up every Sunday, week after week and month after month. She'd go to church and she had one request. Oh God, let my mama see Jesus in me. Oh God, let my mama see Jesus in me. And after several months of praying, She came to church on the church bus, and when the main service, people began to enter in, and in walks that girl's mama. She's searching for her daughter, finds her among the bus kids, walks up toward the front, sits down right next to her. Big tears are running down the mom's face, and the pastor said, "You must be little Sally's mom." She said, "I am." She said, "Little Sally's been praying for you for so long, hoping that you would want to come to church. We're so glad to have you today." Said, "What made you come this morning?" She said, "My daughter has started coming to this church. The van started picking her up. She started coming to this church." She said, "It's hard to live in the house with an angel and not want to be saved." Hallelujah. Ooh, hallelujah. Do you know it'd be hard to work by a man or a woman of God that walk with God and love God and live like God and not want to be saved? I believe that. Every one of us are saved tonight. Every one of us. It's because God put somebody next to us that made us thirsty. You may not realize that, but that's exactly the truth. God put somebody in your life that made you thirsty. They were just salty enough that made you inquire, "I want to know their God." Thank you, Lord. Said of Jesus in Matthew 27 and 46, about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," that is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Some of them that stood there, when they heard that, said, "This man calleth for Elias," meaning Elijah. Straightway one of them ran, took a sponge and filled it with vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him to drink. That's because the other writer said that he cried, "I thirst, not for water, but for God." Isaiah 12 and 3, "Therefore with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation." Notice he likened salvation to water. Matthew 5 and 6, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst, not for water, but for righteousness, for they shall be filled." John 7 and 37, "In the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, not after water, but after God, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." Do you know when God quenches your thirst, he will make you the fountainhead to quench the thirst of everyone else who is thirsty. If you find a good watering hole, you'll point somebody else that's thirsty to it. We find somewhere good to eat. Oh, somebody said, "Man, where's a good restaurant to eat at?" And we always recommend our favorite, don't we? We always recommend the one that we know is going to give them the best of what they're looking for. "Man, I'm having trouble. My heart aches. My life's a mess. I don't know what to do. I don't know what I'm going to do. I just feel overwhelmed." Somebody said, "Man, if I can't find help, I've just been thinking, pondering here lately, taking my life." You know what it is? It's a cry for help. It's a thirst cry. "I'm dying of thirst. I'm dying a slow death of spiritual dehydration. If I knew where I could quench this thirst, if I knew where I could find help for what's wrong with me, I would go there." Somebody would say, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink." That's what Jesus said. And we ought to say to God, "If there's somebody near me thirsting, let them come to me and help them find drink." I won't ever forget that first church that God sent me to pastor We had left a powerful church, one where the gifts of the Spirit moved. Often, nearly every service, there was a gift of the Spirit in operation of some kind. The singing was powerful, anointed. I could worship and tears could flow, and the preaching was powerful and anointed. Every altar service, something great was going to happen. The church seemed to thrive. It was an oasis spiritually to me and my family. We went to pastor this first church, and I'm telling you, it was like Death Valley days. I remember you didn't have no testimony because wasn't nobody going to testify. You got to have victory to testify.
Yeah.
And the ones that did want to testify, you want to tell them, no, please sit down. Please sit down. That ain't God. And I did tell a few of them that ain't God. Just no more of that. And I remember leaving the service one night. And I was so discouraged. I felt so defeated. And the Lord spoke to my heart and he said, I sent you there because there wasn't no water. And he said, I need you to know when you get in that pulpit and I put my hand and touch and anointing on your life, it's because there's no water. And you are the well. You are the cistern. And if you or anybody in that house is going to find drink, they're going to find it from you. I want to tell you, when water started flowing, you can ask that. Brother Jonathan's there, different ones, Sister Beck. You can ask. I want to tell you, when that water started flowing, it wasn't hard to get no testimony. What's the difference? Water's flowing. Water's flowing.
Yeah.
Flowing from where? It started flowing from God, but before it's over, it's flowing out of us.
Yeah.
It's flowing out of us. Do you know that's the way it ought to be? Not just in this church, but in every church. It ought to flow out of all of us.
That's right.
But speaking of Brother Jonathan, I don't know if he still works on the ambulance or not. I won't ever forget the Burnett's, I can't remember his first name.
Bobby,
sure. But he's in that ambulance. Stepped on a stingray. Brother Jonathan prayed for him. He said, man, that's going to, we treat these a lot down here. That's going to be really, really, really sore. You know, for 2 or 3 days, you know, you can do this, that, or the other. He invited him to church. But I remember when he came, he said, that guy right there prayed for me. He said, he told me it was going to be really, really sore for 2 or 3 days. He said, I'll be honest with you, it ain't been sore at all. Ain't been sore at all. I don't need you, Siri. It ain't been sore at all. And he said, before I left, he invited me to church. And that's why I'm here today.
Amen.
He came and they came for quite a while. And I've talked to some other people that had encounters with a Jonathan Wells in the back of an ambulance, and they told me the same thing. Man, that guy prayed for me. That guy invited me to church. What is that? Hey, if you ride in the back of an ambulance, there ain't no better place for somebody to find water.
That's right. Yeah.
Brother Daniel, police officer. He led the squad. He should have. He's a canine officer. He led the department, felony arrest. He used to work out with a guy in the gym at the Y. He started on there as a correctional officer at the Fairhope precinct. He knows him. And when he told me where he was working at, I said, there's a man in my church that works there. He said, really, who? I said, Brother Daniel Rada. He said, oh, man. He said, that guy brings in several people every day. He said, man, he keeps us busy. But I talked to Brother Daniel. He said, I have a heart for him, Pastor. I feel sorry for him.
Yeah.
Most of them, with that canine, with drug arrest. He said, they're bound.
Yeah.
They're addicted. He said, they need more than just be booked into a jail. They need Jesus. I had a guy come in here one time. You could tell he was an addict. Brother Daniel came to me after the service. He said, I knew that guy. I said, I know you did. He said, he tell you about me? I said, he did. He seen Brother Daniel in here. He was nervous. He done been arrested before. I prayed with him. I told him the Lord could help him. He said, yes, sir. He said, that's why I'm here. He said, that guy right there, he arrested me. And he said, I'll tell you something else. He said, he was the nicest officer that's ever arrested me in my life. He said, he prayed with me, told me about Jesus, told me about this church. What is that? So if any man thirst, let him come to me and drink. Amen. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water.
Right.
There's something on the inside of you that the whole world needs.
Yes,
there's something in you tonight that Jesus wants to pour out of you. Whole world needs what's living inside it. I could keep sharing testimonies, wonderful testimonies of God using most of you in a very positive way to impact those around you. What would cause that deer to long for water? Not only intense thirst, but if a deer longs for water, you know, a lot of times if they're wounded, they go for water. You shoot a deer, there's a creek, there's a river, there's a pond, even a ditch. They're going to go get in it. They're going to lie in that water and try to put that wound in the mud. I don't know how they do it, but God somehow internally put in an animal, if you're wounded, head for water. Do you know that God instinctively put that in us as well? In Ezekiel 47:5, afterward, he measured 1,000. It was a river that I could not pass over, for the waters were risen, waters to swim in, a river that could not be passed over. He said unto me, Son of man, hast thou seen this? Then he brought me and caused me to return to the brink of the river. Now when I had returned, behold, at the bank of the river were very many trees on the one side and on the other. Then he said unto me, these waters issue out toward the east country and go down into the desert and go into the sea, which being brought forth into the sea, the waters shall be healed. And it shall come to pass that everything that liveth, which moveth whithersoever the river shall come, shall live.
That's right.
And there shall be a very great multitude of fish, because these waters shall come thither, for they shall be healed. Everything shall live whither the river cometh. We sang a chorus when I went through the school of Christ. After every prayer meeting, there were several of the preachers that would get together, and Brother Jesse, he's out in the Enterprise area. He and his uncle pastor in that area. Brother Jesse could play the piano, and Brother Clendenin would get him to come up and sing. And after every prayer meeting, we'd sing the same chorus. Everywhere the river flows, there's healing. Everywhere the river flows, there's life. Life's thirsty lands are refreshed by his waters. Everywhere the river flows, there's life. Isn't that good? Everywhere the river flows, there's healing. Everywhere the river flows, there's life. Life's thirsty lands are refreshed by his waters. Everywhere the river flows, there's life. I've never forgotten that chorus. And a lot of times when I'm in this altar praying, if it's with somebody or even by myself, many times my heart and mind goes back to those first days, those formative years as a young preacher going through that school of Christ and those prayer meetings, gathered around nobody but another group of preachers. Us, me in my late 20s, us with our hands raised in the air. We weren't there because we were backslid. We weren't there because we had committed some great sin. We had congregated together in what was called a school of Christ, a learning center for young preachers, a discipleship course for young preachers. We were there because we were thirsty, Brother Bob. We were thirsty for God. Thirsty to know God, Brother Daniel. Thirsty for God's touch. Thirsty for God's power. Thirsty for God's anointing. There's a million churches in the land. And I want to tell you, very few people thirst for God. There's very little preaching anymore that makes a man or a woman thirst to know God.
Amen.
Oh. You know what worship ought to do? True worship, anointed worship, ought to make us thirsty.
Come on. Yeah.
To be in the presence
Amen.
Of God.
Thank you.
It ought to, one of the reasons we worship before we preach. This good anointed worship ought to make me thirsty for the word of God, thirsty for the presence of God, thirsty to touch God, thirsty for him to touch me. I thirst for that.
Yeah.
I long for that. Do you know if you're wounded tonight? If you're bleeding out spiritually, you're in the right place. You know, if you get wounded and don't get the blood stopped, you'll die. The life of the flesh is in the blood, the Bible says. You be wounded spiritually. Somebody stab you. Somebody pierce you through with words or their actions. And you're bleeding or wounded spiritually. As the heart pants after the water brook. I can see that deer that's been shot. You walk that blood trail. I've lost the blood trail before, Brother Daniel. I've lost him. Don't know where he's at. But I know where that water is. Let's go to that creek. Let's walk that creek line. There he'll be, Brother Bob. Edge of that creek. He run to that water and died. Something in him knew to go to that water. Try to get this blood stopped. There ought to be something in every child of God. I'm going to church. I'm going to the house of God. I'm going to prayer meeting. When I get there, I'm going to the altar.
Yeah.
Why? Because I need the Lord to heal my wounded spirit. He will. He will. Last, I'm closing with this. What else would cause a deer to pant for water? Everybody knows if you cross a body of water, whatever's pursuing you, you lose your scent.
Yeah.
There's something about a deer that's being pursued by a dog. He heads for that creek, that branch, that river, that pond. He's heading for that water. Why? Because the water leaves no scent. They can't trail him anymore. In Matthew 12:43, when the unclean spirit's gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places seeking rest, findeth none. Then he saith, I will return into my house from whence I came out. And when he is come, he findeth it empty, swept, and garnished. Then goeth he, taketh with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself. They enter in and dwell there, and the last state of that man is worse than the first, even so shall it be also unto this wicked generation. Why would that deer pant for water? The need to escape his pursuer. The Bible said when an unclean spirit's gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places. The devil can't swim. The devil can't swim. And he won't cross a body of water to get to you. Not without a vessel. So that deer says, I'm trying to get away. I'm running as hard and as fast as I can, because if I can make it to the river, that dog will lose my trail. And I want to tell you, there's another enemy that's always nipping at our heels, and it's the flesh.
Yeah.
And the Spirit of God does the same thing to the flesh as he'll do to the devil. He'll put him down. He'll put the flesh down. That flesh is dogging your soul. Then run to Jesus,
yes,
the fountain and the wellspring of life-giving water. I want to tell you, the flesh will lose its grip.
Thank God.
The flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. These two are contrary, one against the other, so that you could not do that that you would. If you run to that water, and God quenches the thirst of your spirit, your flesh will lose hold. It'll lose control. I want to say, if you're tempted with something tonight, you're worrying about yielding or giving in to the temptation, you make your trip with this altar.
That's right, yeah.
You pray that thing through and you'll go home with victory.
Yes, sir.
You'll be singing, once like a bird in prison I dwelt, no freedom from my sorrow I felt, but Jesus came and listened to me. Glory to God. He set me free. Curse if you'll help me. If you're able, stand with me tonight. Why would that deer long for water? This is the only other possibility that I could think of. Now, I don't know how a deer thinks, but I know the only thing, the only reason, the only way we know what we look like, Brother Terry, we can look in the mirror. You think if we didn't look in the mirror, if there wasn't no glass, there's no way that we could see our reflection, Brother Joey, we wouldn't have a clue what we even look like. You wouldn't have a clue. I know a lot of you look in the mirror every day, and you know you're good looking. Well, that's better than saying you know you're ugly. Is that right, Brother Butch? You look in the mirror every day and you think, man, Sister Yvonne, look what you got. Handsome husband. But I got to thinking about this, and the only way that deer could even know what he is, Brother Bob, He goes to that river, to that lake, to that pond. When he sticks his head down there to get him a drink, Brother Darren, he sees a big old rat hanging over his head. Look at that. I done grew from a little old yearling with spots on it. I done got me a big old rack on top of my head. He discovers what he is by his own reflection. Do you know the Bible says that the word, when a man reads it, he said like he's looking into a mirror. It's revealing to him what he is. Do you know when I get revealed to me what I am, where I am, or how I am? When I come to the altar. When I hear the Lord say, you thirsty? Come to me and drink, and it's when I'm there drinking and I look into that well and I see my own reflection and say, oh God, I need more of you so that I can be more like you. You want to be more like him? Come on, drink up. Drink up. The more you drink, the more like him you become. Alabosi. Could it have been that that deer said, I need to get to the water because I ain't feeling like myself lately? He looks in that water, thinks, oh man, no wonder I'm feeling different. I done shed my antlers. and they start growing back again. They grow back bigger and stronger. And I believe as they're growing back, he's like us. He keeps going back often. So yeah, they're still growing. Yeah, they're still growing. And if for some reason he went back and they weren't growing, he would think in his mind, what's wrong? What's wrong with me? I'm lacking something. Amen. I don't know if a deer thinks like that or not. That possibility hit my mind because that's the way I think. I need to go to the well often. If I see something in me that makes me question what's going on in my life, why am I talking like this? Why am I living like this? Why am I thinking like this? I need to get to that water, take a good look at myself tonight. I need to drink and let the Lord talk to me and reveal some things to me. God, I got to have an answer tonight. Well, I tell you, you'll find one at the feet of Jesus. Amen. As the heart pants for the water brook, so panteth my soul for thee, O God, for the living God. Is that your prayer tonight? Thirsty heart. Amen. Let's meet the Lord together in the altar. If you've not been really thirsty in a while, and I want you to ask God to help you to get thirsty, to make you thirsty, for a want to be thirsty. Hallelujah. I want when other people get around me, Lord, help my life cause them to thirst. Let my walk with you, O God, cause them to thirst, to want to be more like you.